So I had the commitment, I had the courage, and then the third ingredient or part of the funnel, whatever you want to say, is growth. This continual pursuit of efficiency and refining your craft. So many advisors out there are like, you know, our office is different. Well, how are you different? You know, well, we do this. Our whole thing was, I didn't want to say I was different. I just wanted to be different. I wanted to focus on what we did well.
You're listening to Wealthy Advisor Mindset Podcast, a show dedicated to helping financial advisors grow their AUM while enjoying a great quality of life by creating a high performance mindset. Guiding you on this podcast is none other than Nina Cook, a seasoned mindset coach who has worked with hundreds of business owners over the last decade to dissolve all their self-sabotaging behaviors and habits to achieve their business goals so they can have a much bigger impact and make much more money. Throughout the show, we'll deliver actionable strategies to grow your practice more easily and quickly, while revealing the incredible possibilities that emerge when you tap into your best self. Ready for a breakthrough that amplifies your impact and profits? Let's dive in.
Paul Durso is the president and founder of Durso Capital Management Company and Insight Folios, Inc., both headquartered in Charlotte, North Carolina, which is where he also lives. Additionally, Paul is the creator of the Planning Made Simple series aimed at educating advisors and investors. He firmly believes that smart financial decisions impact the quality of one's life and is driven to empower clients with the financial knowledge they need to successfully navigate the retirement phases of their lives. Paul regularly appears on CBS, Fox, as well as other networks and TV shows to share his financial wisdom and insights with a wider community. Paul lives with his wife, Stephanie, and their three boys, Evan, Shane, and Reed. Paul, we've had a short chat before our interview, and I know you are deeply into mindset and you know how much it matters for success, but not just success, it's also for fulfillment and enjoyment. But before we really start talking about that in more depth, can you just give us a little overview of how you've come to be where you are now, starting your own business and finding all the success that you have?
So thanks for having me on the show, Nina. This is, I'm very excited to share today. Been in this business for about 25 years. Lion's share of my career was up in Michigan. And I was part of a very big broker dealer for a couple years, then moved to a small private Christian firm for about 10 years up in Michigan. And there at the end, the primary owner and myself were kind of split in ways. And my wife and I decided we wanted to just start our own thing. So we moved down here to Charlotte about 11 years ago with the whole intent of just having a small firm, you know, with about 5 employees and as many clients as we can go get here in Charlotte. And things changed. We had wild success right away. And even though financial advisor industry is very vast, it is a small community. And word spread of how much success we had so quick. And I had advisors asking me, how do you do what you do? And, you know, can I come watch? And I was like, no, you're just going to steal my stuff. And long story short, there after a while, I started to lower my defense systems, you know, people stealing, because our business is just a bunch of thieves. And little by little, we started changing our office, and we went from client focused and just dealing with clients to slowly teaching and advising on advisors. And now we have a thriving client business and a thriving advisor coaching RIA where advisors come over to our platform. And we've got a lot of technology. I'm a big techie. We have tons and tons of technology for customer experience, planning software implementation, and investment management. And then here we are. It's been a crazy wild journey. Didn't expect I would ever be coaching and training financial advisors. And that's primarily what I do now.
Wonderful. So let's have a little look at your wild success that you experienced at the beginning, because that is the dream, isn't it? That you hit the ground running, you build a nice, portfolio of clients, get some good income coming in. How did it happen for you? What do you think was the secret of your success?
So when I walked away from the office up in Michigan, one of the first things I did is I wanted to do something very special to symbolize this break, this start on my own. And the day I resigned, I was a very small owner, big part of the office, but a very small owner. And I left the office. My parents weren't living in Michigan, so I grabbed my father-in-law. I wanted somebody to do it with me. My wife was with the kids. And so I go to the mall, and I didn't tell anybody. I didn't even tell my wife I was going to do this. Go to the mall, and he's like, what are we doing? I was like, I want to get something. And we go to Lord & Taylor, I think, or some Neiman Marcus store. And we walk in right over to the men's section, and I go up to the counter where they have jewelry for men, and they have watches and stuff. And I looked down, and I was like, I knew exactly what I wanted. And I was like, I want that right there. And my father-in-law catches a glimpse of it, and it was a Hugo Boss watch. And it just said Boss, like right on the inside the face. And he's like, I get it. You're the boss. You know, you want to be the boss. And I was like, that's a little short-sighted, not entirely true. I said, now I'm the boss of my time. And this watch is going to symbolize the most valuable thing that I have that I'm never going to give up again. You know, prior to this moment, I had somebody else pulling the strings of my time. And, you know, I remember hardships over my wife having kids and soccer games and, you know, hospital time and whatever. And it was just it was hard. And from that day forward to now, I always prioritize my time. So when I was in the office, I had to be super efficient. I had to get my job done. I had to do things. And if I sacrificed a night for a seminar or a class or an interview or whatever, I always made it up, you know, with my kids. And I had my wife and I's number one priority is we will family first. We were never going to sacrifice this business or our family for this business. And that priority pushed the grit in me to do things I wasn't doing before. And, you know, as a financial advisor, sometimes we just go with the flow, and we changed a lot and had a lot of success. And I never sacrificed my time with my kids, with my family. And, you know, as we get into more of our conversation, it changed me as a person. It changed me as a leader, changed me as a coach, because I was able to find success having priorities as the number one thing in my life. Because a lot of times we believe in this, you know, this myth that in order to get to a place, you have to give up so much. And I feel like we just did the opposite. We didn't give up what we wanted. Now, our growth rate might have been slower, although you might argue differently. We might have had way more success if I just put my head down and kicked my family to the curb, but that was never the goal. The goal was always to spend time with family and have our priorities right and do it the long way. And it actually, you know, it's only been 10 years here in Charlotte, and we're, you know, twice the size of the firm I left in Michigan. And that was a 30-year-old firm. So, you know, I wouldn't say we've had slow growth.
Amazing. So you made the decision to put your family first, and everything else had to fit in around that decision.
Yeah.
And you said it sort of motivated you and gave you the grit. So what did you do in terms of making time work for you rather than you having to sacrifice things to time?
So first of all, I organized my calendar. I came from a fairly efficient office up in Michigan, learned a lot. Corporate America doesn't teach you much. Small office definitely teaches you a lot. It's almost like the school of hard knocks, right? And so I learned a bunch in my 10 years there because we did a lot of rubbing shoulders with other people in our situation. When I moved here, I organized my calendar a lot different, really divided into three days. Early on, it wasn't necessarily a day. Today, it's definitely three different days. And I'd visualize it like a stoplight. So the first and most important day is the red day. It's the play day. This is where you stop all of your work and you just go and play. I had little kids, you know, my kids are grown now, but you know, that we used to have play days, you know, where we'd break the norm and just go to the park or whatever. In life, this is where you just read a non-business book, or it can be a leadership book, but it has nothing to do with finance, you know, it has nothing to do with what you do day to day. You just have to break free. And I set in every January, the end of December, beginning of January, I set all my play days for the year. And successful people, in my opinion, work between vacation. They don't work to vacation. So we set up our entire year of travel, and then I just work between these blocks of vacations. And I typically will take off a third, you know, 3 months a year, which is kind of crazy to think, you know, I'm spending that much time away from the office. Second day is a preparation day. Preparation day is the yellow day. It's the, do I go? Do I stop? What do I do? It's working on your business. It's working to prepare for meetings. It's doing the dirty work. It's doing the fun work. It's doing the stuff you enjoy and the stuff that you have to do, or, you know, getting the stuff off your plate that you don't want to do with other people in your office that do that. But these are very important days because you're preparing to do what you do best. And that's the production day. That's the green day. This is the go. So your green days, you know, is when you're meeting with clients. It's when you're furthering your business. It's where you're making your money. These are the most important days, you know, when you're building your business. You know, early on, I might have had in a week four green days, four production days, and like a half prep day and a half a time, you know, day off, depending on my kid's schedule. Now I have like 1 to 2 production days. And I have, depending on the time, 3 prep days. And then obviously when I take time off, you know, like the summers, I'm typically gone. Like I'll work like 4 weeks in the summer and 2.5 months I'm gone. So a lot of my red days, my play days are organized. So my typical work week would be 3 prep days and 2 production days. But everybody's business is different. It's depending on where you're at. You know, a lot of mine is coaching and those aren't necessarily production days. Those can be prep days, but it really, organizing your schedule is really important to having efficiency in your office.
Yeah, absolutely. That's such true. The truth is, the more you organize, the better your life becomes. Otherwise, it's just chaos. I'd love to know, when you started your new firm back then, what role did your mindset play in helping you and aiding you and also hindering you in those early days?
So mindset for growth of the firm, mindset for
yes,
my family,
starting
mindset.
Your new business and, you know, making it on your own and, you know, supporting your family and making sure they had a great life. You must have had all of these things playing in your head when you made that big jump.
Yes. So I would say there's 4 things that I'm very dedicated to in my mindset for growth. The first is commitment. So when I first got to Charlotte, you know, I knew exactly how we were going to market. I knew exactly how we were going to grow the firm. I just had this grit, like, this is it. I never doubted it wasn't going to work. Like, there was always this belief that no matter what, we were going to grow. So I was very committed to the process of growing a firm and starting over. Like, we had no clients. I mean, I just left this firm in Michigan and we just started over, and we moved here at a 12x12 office and 0 clients, but I was committed. You know, I had the blinders on like the horse race, you know, and I'm like, let's just go. So the first thing is commitment. The second thing is courage. Like, you know, I was committed and I was courageous. You know, that's action under fear, like under fire. And I never doubted, like I said before, and I had the courage to implement, to follow through and implement what we were going to do for marketing. So I had the commitment, I had the courage, and then the third ingredient or part of the funnel, or whatever you want to say, is growth. This continual pursuit of efficiency and refining your craft. So many advisors out there are like, you know, our office is different. Well, how are you different? You know, well, we do this. Our whole thing was, I didn't want to say I was different. I just wanted to be different. I wanted to focus on what we did well. And I was committed to our this whole thing working. I had the courage to implement it. And then I just started refining and growing, and my capabilities started to expand. and refine. And I got so good at what we did. And it was a planning process and a methodology of how we invested. And they know what that did. It aided to the fourth part of this puzzle of growth, which is belief. And belief is one of those things for advisors that's so hard, because if they don't believe what they're selling, they don't believe in what they're doing, there's that little bit of doubt that's in the back of their mind. They don't find much more of that growth because there's just something that's holding them back. But when you are committed and you're courageous and you're continuing to grow and refine, this thing happens to your belief in what you do, and you're like, man, this is really working. Like, this is so great. And then it starts over. Like, you're even more committed. You have more courage. You're growing even more. It's like this cycle, and it just, it elevates you, and it's all in your head. You know, it's not, you know, I'm committed today because the process worked and I closed a ton of business, and tomorrow you're like, what happened? I did the same thing and it didn't work. Like, this mindset of commitment, courage, growth, which is capabilities and expanding your abilities, and belief, that's all up in your head. And if you don't believe in what you do and what you offer and how you plan and how you serve and have customer experience, it's going to hold you back. And these four things changed my business, changed my life, changed my career, changed my leadership. It's affected how I parent my kids, you know, and it's all up in your head. I can't say that enough, because when you go through these four things, and it's a cycle that just repeats, 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 and you get better and stronger and faster and more efficient. And as you do that, it changes everything. And then you're like so convicted. You're like, nobody's going to tell me this doesn't work. You know, I know this works. So I'm rambling, but it's those four things that has really affected me.
Did you always have the belief, or is this something that you had to work at? And did you also have fears along the way that this was going to work? Or were you always full of belief and just felt that this is something that was going to work for you?
When you say this was going to work for me, like what we were doing?
Your new business, yes.
I never doubted. I don't know if it was just stupidity, if it was just blind luck. You know, when we moved to Charlotte, there was never a doubt that we were going to fail. And, you know, looking back as a business decision, like, we're business owners. And as a business decision, moving to Charlotte was like the stupidest decision a business owner can make. You know, like, I left the security. We had a good church. We had good schools. We had good family, friends. You know, I had a business. I made a lot of money. I was just a small, small little owner, but we made a good living and I had security. And we're like, yeah, we're just going to leave all that behind. We're going to move to Charlotte and I'm going to rent space in a building I don't know. You know, we have no marketing. We have no budget. We have no income, no clients. We're going to start over. We're going to build a house at the same time and live in an apartment. And just make it work. And yet we did that. That's so crazy to think we did that 10 years ago. And I never doubted it. I was so committed and I had so much, you know, blind faith, courage. You know, I don't see myself as courageous, but looking back, I was like, that was crazy. But I never doubted. My mindset was go, grit, determination. And it just, I mean, we made over 100 clients our first month here in Charlotte, which is insane. Now, it took me several months to close them all. But the reality is my first event we did here in Charlotte, we earned over 100 clients, or about 100 clients. And it was just, it was nutty. It was about 170 clients, 160 clients in my first 2 months here in Charlotte. We went from zero to 100, 150 plus. And you're just like, I didn't have time to doubt. We just had so much success because I believed in everything that we were doing here. So it just, we had fast success. And when you do that, there's no time to doubt. And, you know, there was time later, you know, because things slowed down. We didn't always have that success. Doubt is a reality. And it did creep in many times. It does all the time to what we do. But early on, I don't know if it was God's provision or blessing, but we just didn't, there was no fear of failure. Zero.
How do you deal with your doubts and fears? How do you overcome them?
So as a leader, the best encouragement I can give to advisor as a coach, if I'm taking somebody under my wing or I'm helping them grow their business, the best advice I can give is like, learn from your failures. You know, at the end of the day, you know, those who get up after a fight, those who get knocked down, those who make bad business decisions, the determining factor of success and failure is how you handle those failures. And, you know, for me, we made a lot of, I mean, I have made about every bad decision you can make in this business. You know, I have wasted hundreds of thousands of dollars, probably more than that, on bad marketing and different programs and just stupidity. You know, I've made horrible decisions in meetings. I've turned away clients, like everything you can imagine I've done wrong. And I don't regret it. You know, like there are certain things I regret in this business, you know, and how I've handled relationships. Relationships are probably the only thing I might say there's a regret in there, but I can fix that. But in business, you look at failure and there's people that are just held so far back by, I should have never done this. Why didn't I think of this? Or why didn't I know this 10 years ago? Because you weren't ready to handle it 10 years ago. So for now, like how I handle situations where I'm just a bum and I make bad decisions, it's like, well, that's what God wanted to teach me. And now I look forward to learning something. You know, hopefully it's not a very expensive mistake, but you know, you learn so much more from your mistakes than you gain from success. So if I were to look at the biggest lessons in my life, here's the failures and here's the growth from my failures. Like you can't even see my hand anymore. Here's the successes that I have maintained and here's the growth that happens to me personally from those successes. It's just not there. Like when you enter a tournament for my kids and they blow every team out and you know they win the championship, nothing happens. They get a trophy. But when they go enter a tournament and they get to the championship game and they lose by a point or a goal or whatever, the amount of growth and grit and desire to achieve something better, you can't measure it. And in business, it's the exact same. Like advisors, you need to, you know, be excited and think through and process what went wrong and how can I learn from it? How can I grow from it? How can I be better from it? You know, instead of saying always desiring why, you know, I just want to be a better closer. I just want more prospects. Well, yeah, sure. But what are you doing wrong that's affecting your marketing, that's affecting your close rate, affecting the fact that you don't get any referrals? You know, if you start decompressing and figuring out what's wrong there, your business will completely change.
This is a great illustration, a great example of how different advisors look at the same event, you know, a setback or a failure, and they can either be excited by it and, as you say, learn and grow, or they can think, ah, that was really painful. I never want to go through that again, and pull back and not take risks. And it does come down to mindset, because either you have a growth mindset where you're willing to learn and grow from it, or you have a mindset which says, no, I'm never going to go through that pain ever again and mm-hmm. continue to stay stuck.
Are you frustrated with your inability to take the next steps to grow your practice and worry that your same old tired strategies don't seem to work any longer? If this is you, then listen up. Nina has spent the last 2 decades coaching financial advisors and has cracked the code to growing AUMs, hitting bigger profits in your business, and achieving a higher quality of life. You can now get access to those secrets in her game-changing book, Renegade Mindset, a financial advisor's guide to a peak performance mindset. In the book, Nina will share her proven process for success to take you from chasing clients to attracting high-paying ones by creating a success-driven mindset. So, if you're struggling with stagnation, then this could give you the breakthrough you've been searching for. This is different to anything you may have come across before. For being an awesome listener to this podcast, our team would like to gift you a free copy of the book, Renegade Mindset, a financial advisor's guide to a peak performance mindset. You can get your free copy at ninabook.org. You only have to pay for shipping and handling. Once again, the link to get a free copy of this book is ninabook.org. The link is also in the description. Don't miss out on this exclusive opportunity to grow your AUM and stop hustling for your next client. Now, back to the show.
Having worked with so many advisors over the years, what do you see as one of the biggest challenges to their growth? How do they stop themselves from growing both personally and professionally?
That is a challenging question. You know, we touched on this a little bit on our phone call earlier. You know, my knee-jerk reaction when we first discussed this was a little bit of pride. You know, our business, it's just A-type personalities, guys that are bulls, women that are driven, and, you know, they just get to a point where they believe, this is going to be hard for me to articulate, they believe to have success, they have to be the best. And this just gets into their core, and they become prideful and arrogant. You can put whatever covering you want on that. But as I've coached hundreds and hundreds of advisors, probably thousands, I have just seen this horrible arrogance in the name of business growth. And there's something underneath that, which is probably fear. But on the surface, you know, I've seen so many just bold, advisors in what they believe and why they believe they have success. And I think that's the very thing that holds them back. You know, like most advisors never want to admit they're wrong in a meeting. They never want to show anything bad. They want to dress up and wear their suits. And like, I've bare feet. I mean, I don't have shoes on. And I'll show up in meetings with flip-flops. And I'm happy to say in meetings, like, that's a great question. I don't know the answer to that. You know, I've been in this business 25 years and I've never been asked that before. Like, most advisors would just make up something, you know, and then when they're posed with this question, I'm like, no, I'll admit I'm wrong. Like, there's the arrogance. Like, they'll tell you they would never admit they're wrong in a meeting, but they would tell you they would always admit they're wrong in a meeting. And then you do meetings with them and like, there was your perfect opportunity because you didn't know the answer. You fluffed that. Why didn't you just say you didn't know? So I personally would say it's a little bit of pride, but underneath that, it's probably something you would know a whole lot more about, which is a fear of something. Maybe it's fear of failure, fear of disappointment, fear of doing something wrong. That's driving that arrogance. But I think we are in our own way. We have tricked ourselves into believing we have the wrong mindset, using your terminology, and we believe it's the right mindset. And it's this cycle of no growth where we believe that the only way we're going to get ahead is to get more opportunities, more at-bats, more prospects. And that, yeah, logically makes sense. But I can tell you, when I first hit Charlotte, the first 4 years, we spent hundreds of thousands of dollars a year marketing, and we grew fast. And I can tell you, for the last six, almost 7 years of Charlotte, we have spent zero money marketing, and we are growing so much faster now than we were in the first 4 years with this huge budget for marketing. And you say, how are you doing that? Referrals, relationships. Like, we spend no money. I had two prospects in here last Wednesday. It was the day after we called. I think I was complaining to you because I was like, I don't even want to do these prospecting meetings anymore. And at the end of the second meeting, this is the power of referral. End of the second meeting, you know, the guy, after about an hour, hour and 15 minutes, he's like, so what's the next steps? And I'm like, well, you guys need to go home. You need to talk about this. You need to decide what you want to do. He goes, can I stop you right there? He looks at his wife and he goes, do you want to hire this guy as our financial advisor? She goes, absolutely. He goes, we're ready to go. You know, and I laughed. I was like, seriously? Like, he goes, I don't want to come back. Like, I want to save a trip. I'm thinking, this is the rest of your life money. Like, you don't want to save, you want to save a trip? Like, that's the power of really strong referrals. And that's not a, like, I don't even desire that right now. Like, I give most, actually, I gave both of those clients to another advisor. you know, because I want to coach and train other advisors. And the realities behind what hold advisors back is this thought that they have to spend to make, this thought that they have to be better to earn. You know, I approach and I coach a lot of advisors like, be who you are. Like, I dress the same when I'm in the office, when I'm out of the office. I wear flip-flops all the time, you know, beach bum. And this is how I walk in. And a lot of people walk in this office and he goes, this guy clearly doesn't need my money, you know, if that's how he's dressing. And then our clients come in, they're wearing shorts now. They used to come in suits and dresses. Now they're walking in like they walked out of the gym. Like, get out of your way. Like, stop being so arrogant, thinking that you know everything. And whatever's underlining that, which I'm not a psychologist, you know, is probably driving that. You need to deal with that. I don't know if this is making sense. I feel like I'm rambling.
Yeah, no, this is really a key part here. And I'd love to just go into this a little bit more. So you're saying that, you know, if you're more authentic, or if you're authentic, you know, show who you are, be vulnerable. If you don't know the answer, say you don't know the answer. And people will trust you and respond to you. Because you're being truthful about who you are, and people really respond to that.
Yeah. So when we first made the decision here in Charlotte, like when I first got here, there was a progression of dress. Like, I wasn't that confident when I first got here, and I didn't wear suits. Like, I started in corporate American suits, then went to suits at a small private firm up in Michigan. And then I wanted to take my tie off. My boss didn't really want me to. And then we got to a point where we did. So I was like business casual, but sometimes I still wore a suit jacket. And then slowly got to the point when I moved here that I was totally business casual, and it's so hot in the summers here, like super hot. And I made the decision, I'm going to start wearing shorts and flip-flops. And I had a meeting. We were probably 2 years into wearing shorts at this point, and it wasn't the norm. It was starting to be the norm, but there was still this uncomfortable vibe when people would come in. And I had this person in my office, and he was kind of a cowboy, and he was dressed to the nines as a cowboy. And he sits down in my office, and he makes this remark, and he was a referral. He makes this remark, and he's like, is it casual Tuesday or casual Thursday or whatever it was? And I looked at him, and I was like, would you rather me wear a suit and be fake, or dress like this and be who I am? And he's like leaning forward, and he sits back, and he was like, whoa, all right. That was great answer. You know, like, it just changed the whole vibe of the meeting. And that's our approach. Like, I want you to experience who we are. Like, we're business casual. Like, everywhere wears shorts around here. And, you know, they dress for how they are comfortable. Because when you sit with clients and you talk, you want to feel comfortable. You know, I believe dressing for success is being who you are. It's not dressing up for success. It's dressing and representing your best self. And I feel the most comfortable what I'm wearing right now. So when I'm sitting in front of people, the mindset is, this is me. It's not, I'm not putting on like the makeup and the face of like, all right, this is financial advisor Paul. And then I go out with my friends on Saturday, and this is, you know, this is the relaxed, cool Paul, the fun Paul, you know. And then I'm at school and I'm like, this is a reserved guy, you know, it's around my kids' teachers. Like, I am the same person, you know. They say you wear your emotion on your sleeve. Those people, I'm one of those guys. And when I started bringing that truly to my office, and I started coaching that to other advisors, success levels just started to soar, because there's no more acting. There's no more like putting on the whatever. It's just like, here, you know, this is who I am. Take it or leave it. And it's been great. It's been awesome.
Yes. And it makes you stand out. You're different from everyone else. You said something about, you said referrals and relationships. Can you tell us more about that? What are you focusing on with your clients so they become great referral partners and you keep them long term? What is it about the relationship you foster with your clients that is so fulfilling for them and for you?
So early on, back up in Michigan, and when I first started the firm here, we used to do referral programs. And I was very big into it. And it was like an earned thing. Like, if you send referrals or this many referrals, you can earn X. And we had success with that. And then we just shut it all down because it wasn't, I don't know, it just didn't feel right. And we were really big into customer service. And we saw a level of referrals that we were getting that was good because we were serving our clients to our best of our ability, and we believed in excellence of service. Now, what I mean by that is just really, really taking care of our clients. And we saw, you know, for every, let's just say we had 200 clients, you know, we might get 25 referrals. And it was good. You know, we're still marketing, but we were really focusing on customer service. And then, you know, I'm a ferocious reader. I read 60 to 70 books a year. I love to read. And I'm one of those guys that really likes to take what I read and bring it in. And as I was doing that, I'm reading that there's a big difference between customer service and customer experience. And I'm like, customer experience? Like, what's that? Is that like going to movies? Like, what is that? And it's changed how I thought and how I currently think, my mindset for how I treat my clients. Because customer service is reactive. Customer experience is proactive. And there's a totally different approach to how you treat people from a customer experience standpoint. So now we have excellence in service, and I feel like we're getting to the point, we're not there yet, where we have excellence in customer experience. Now let me help you understand the difference when it comes to referral. So when I have great customer service, I might have a referral rate of 10%, 15%. When I have great customer experience, I might have a referral rate of 50%, 60%. So now, like, we can get, just by switching from reactive to proactive. So instead of somebody calling me and saying, hey, I want to talk about my RMD, now we like we'll go way ahead of that, get out in front of that, and help jog their memory, educate them, you know, help them understand what's ahead, like get so far out in front of it that they know, they're already confident in what they're going to do, how they're going to do it, when they're going to do it. And we've answered all the questions before they ever called us. And their belief in what we do, because we educate them, is so strong. Like, if you think of the most influential people in your life, it's the people that teach you the most. Mm-hmm. So customer experience is education. Customer service is getting things done. It's they ask, you do. Customer experience is they don't ask, you teach. You help them understand what's ahead before they realize it's ahead. And then you become this center of influence. You become this one-stop shop for all things education in what you do and maybe even beyond. And now they're like, man, this firm, these people are so good. Everybody in my life has to be like, how many times you rave about a restaurant? You just ate one time. You're like, you gotta go there. You want to set yourself so far out that your clients are like, you are doing yourself a disservice if you're not hiring these people. Like, when we get a referral, they know everything about us. Like, they know how we plan. They know the name of our planning. They know how we invest. They know who they're going to talk to when they walk in the front door. They'll come in. They're like, yeah, we know. That's what happened last week. Like, they knew everything about me, you know, and it wasn't because they went to my website. They might have, but it's because of the referral source was so passionate referring them here. They told them everything. Just like when you refer a restaurant, you're like, you know, they have great wait. The service is awesome. The food is spectacular. They do these cool things and the decor, you know, whatever. That's a good referral. And you have an expectation of when you go. Same thing here. Like, if your clients are just saying, hey, call Paul, call my advisor, that's not a referral. That's a reference. You know, when somebody's like, they just go way overboard, now you're onto something. And what happened in our experience is customer experience and focusing on that. I can tell you this. When we first got here, I told you, all of our budget was on marketing. Here we are 10 years later, all of my marketing budget is creating customer experience in software and around the office. I just went to a huge conference in Vegas, which is everything about video and production, not to market, but to have customer experience in this office and on video, that's a whole, that's a complete next level. We're talking like ESPN level video production. And the whole purpose of us doing it is to serve and create experiences with our customers. I'm spending so much money on my customers, not newbies, not people I don't know, not strangers, not marketing, on my clients, which seems so crazy. When I first got here, I'm like, if you would have told me 10 years ago, you're going to get to a point where you spend no money on strangers and marketing and you spend all your money on serving your clients, I'd be like, you're crazy. How will I ever grow? And yet here we are, growing way faster than we ever were when we were spending money on marketing. And if you want a great example of this, look up the story of Zappos. Zappos, fastest growing online sneaker. They almost went out of business through the bubble burst. And they only sold sneakers online. And they literally went out of almost out of business, and they had to cut their marketing. So they cut their marketing budget because they didn't have any money. They cut salaries. It was crazy. And then they decided, we're just going to serve our clients. So if somebody wants to call up and say, hey, how do I order a pizza? We're going to help them. And they became the number one online customer service platform in the world. And by 2021, they literally almost went out of business because they could not get clients. And by 2007, 2008, they sold for over $1 billion to Amazon. And over that period of time, they spent zero, not a dime on marketing. And all they did was serve their base and word of mouth growth. And they went from this down, they grew when they paid money for marketing. They went down into the gutter, almost went bankrupt because of the bubble burst, and they had to cut everything. And then exponential growth till they sold to Amazon on one thing, customer experience, customer service, and zero money on marketing. Great model.
That is such a great lesson. I've learned a lot. Thank you for sharing that. That's amazing. I love the distinction between customer service and customer experience. Although I kind of thought, well, I knew that. So much clarity around that. Thank you. It's my mind is buzzing now with ideas. So, Paul, I'd love to ask you, what is the greatest lesson that life has taught you so far?
Oh, geez. Oh, an easy question. I'm glad, you know, because your questions have been so hard up until this point. greatest lesson. I am definitely one of those guys that is very spiritual. I'm a believer in Jesus. And what I would say is the greatest lesson that I live my life by is that I try to not outrun what God wants me for my life. And, you know, as a business owner, there are times when we are so passionate, so driven, have so much determination and grit that we're just like, we're going to do this and we're never going to fail. And I think the worst thing that we can do as a business owner is charge so hard with so much determination, not realizing the path, the smart path for your life. I'm not saying don't take risks. I'm not saying stay complacent. I'm saying there's this in-between of being too complacent and too risky, somewhere right in the middle as a leader, as a business owner. You know, when I pray through a lot of what I do, but if you're not that spiritual, there's this in between this place of complacency and risk, where it's just this perfect balance of smart, calculated decision making that a business owner, you know, needs to make. If you look at like Kimberly Clark, I think was the business. They built a business over 100 years, a century, on creating paper. And then they had this CEO that saw the writing on the wall of paper going away because of the digital revolution. And he said, I think we're going to put, and they had 80% of their business was paper. 20% was not paper products, but like Kleenex and that type of stuff, non-paper products that used the same type of process. And the CEO is like, we're going to sell all our paper plants and we're going to go all in on this 20%. This is a 100-year-old company. And this guy, complacency is 80% of our revenue is coming from paper. 20% is, you know, and he made a decision which stands today as probably one of the most bold decisions any CEO of a public company has ever made, in my opinion. And they made this big decision over time to sell all their paper plants and give up 80% of their revenue. Could you imagine making decisions?
Huge.
I'm going to give up 80% of my revenue. Which, by the way, look into that Zappos story. It'll blow your mind what they did with customers.
I'm going to be looking that up.
and they went into 20%. And now here they are today, the worldwide leader in 8 different types of products like Kleenexes. But they made this bold decision, which my opinion was not complete. Like, they went away from complacency because they saw every year this shrinking. And they saw every year this growing, and they made a way ahead of the time decision. But in my opinion, it was right in the middle. It wasn't super risky. It was calculated. It wasn't complacent. I would say it was more risky on that side, but it was bold. And they were right in the middle. So as a business owner, I think sometimes you have to step way back and say what's really happening. That's why I cut marketing. Like, I got pressured by business owners to say, why are you continuing to spend money on marketing? And the best decision I ever made was to completely eliminate my marketing budget and started focusing that marketing on my clients. And that was I felt like an 80-20 decision for me, because advisors are like, 80% of the money I have in revenue or my net revenue has to go to marketing so I can grow. And I cut that. And my biggest lesson that I have ever learned, that what I want to teach other people, is that that balance between conservative, this is what we've always done, to risky, and that in between, if you want to pray through that, if you want to ask other people who have been there, done that, however you want to get there. You know, I do both. You know, I want super smart people in my life and I want to pray through it. And whenever we determine you, I start that 4-part process that we started this interview on, which is commitment, courage, growth, and belief. And you stay right there with that decision. And as long as it's a good decision, you're going to have really good success.
Yeah, it's finding that sweet spot, isn't it?
It's tough.
It's tough. And sometimes you'll get it bang on, and other times it won't happen. But as you said, the failures are even more valuable than the successes. Paul, how can advisors who are listening in, how can they find out more about you and the amazing work you're doing?
You can go to insightfolios.com. That's probably the easiest place to learn about us. You can contact us through our website. You can call our phone number through Insight Folios, which is 704-529-9500. I'm sure we have an email out there for the public, but I don't know what it is. It's probably info@insightfolios.com. But outside of that, there's not a whole lot of ways you can get a hold of us. It'd be predominantly online at insightfolios.com.
And you have plenty of teaching.
You have a podcast, which you're going to be on.
I can't wait.
Planning Made Simple, which I'm super excited about. So you can look for our podcast. It's kind of a hodgepodge of information. We will talk all things that force you to make a decision. So it could be about money. It could be about anything. But the Planning Made Simple aspect isn't planning finance, it's planning period. It's making smart decisions on things that influence your life or affect your life.
Amazing. And I know you have plenty of teaching and training and guides.
Yeah, we're all over YouTube and social. Yeah. We've got stuff everywhere. We are not hidden, that's for dang sure. If you Google Insight Folios or Paul Durso, I'm sure there is one Paul Durso that ranks with me out of Australia. He's a doctor. That's not me. I'm not a doctor. So depending on where you are, I'm sure the search results will come up about Insight Folios, Planning Made Simple.
Great. We'll add all the links onto the podcast as well. Thank you so much. It's been amazing. I've learned a lot. And for everyone who's been listening and watching, I hope you've got a ton of value from this. And I will see you next time.
I hope you enjoyed the episode today on the Wealthy Advisor Mindset. Make sure to hit subscribe on your chosen platform to get notifications on upcoming episodes.
If this episode made you think of someone who you think would benefit from listening to it, then go ahead, take a screenshot, and share this episode with them, or post it on your social media to share with your friends and colleagues. You can catch the show notes for this episode and any mentioned links in the description. If you are a financial advisor who is struggling to grow your AUM and profits while creating a great work-life balance, and you know it's because your mindset is stopping you, or you have a specific challenge in mind that you would love Nina's feedback on, go to chatwithnina.org and grab a time that works best for you. We'd love to see if we can help you. Once again, it's chatwithnina.org. We will see you in the next episode.